The Little House on the Prairie books have been favorites of adults and children alike. And here in Wisconsin, we feel a special kind of pride and ownership since the stories began with Laura Ingalls Wilder's earliest years in the Little House in the Big Woods right here in our state.
What fans of the books and the subsequent TV series might not know is that while she wrote several books about her life that became the Little House series, she didn't really keep a diary or journal in her adult years, but she was a big-time letter writer with lots of correspondence with family, friends, and her many fans.
William Anderson joins us now. He's written several books about Laura Ingalls Wilder, and his most recent release this month is called The Selected Letters of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Bill, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.
Well, what is unique about this new collection of letters?
Well, one of the unique qualities is that we are probably at the end of Laura Ingalls Wilder's written words. Since her death in 1957, a number of her books that had gone unpublished during her lifetime have seen print and always were welcomed a great deal by her readers. And this collection of letters is most likely, barring any exciting discovery in an attic or drawer or repository, this is probably the last of her written words. And it's significant because, as you mentioned, Wilder didn't keep journals or diaries in her adult life, except when she was on a vacation. So the letters more or less tell of her life from 1894 to 1956 in her own words, in the form of correspondence.
And it was quite a task to gather all this correspondence together, because, of course, she'd written it to different people. Some has been lost. Some of her correspondence, I understand, was even burned at one point.
It was. And this has been a book that's been on the back burner for 20 years, and finally the time seemed right, and I had collected and used a lot of her correspondence when I wrote books like Laura Ingalls Wilder, A Biography, and Laura Ingalls Wilder Country, and so on. So I had neatly filed in dated file folders all of these letters during that long span of her adult life. So when it became evident that HarperCollins wanted to do this book, I just had to pull those files out of my cabinet and start working with them, annotating them, editing. And it will truly be an unending process, because I've done quite a few appearances lately in connection with this book, and almost every one of the events, somebody comes forth with a letter that they received from Wilder or their parents received. So there are thousands of them out there even yet today.
And what's striking to me as I read through these, both personal letters to family members and also to fans, is that her tone is really intimate in these. She confides, she sort of gives part of herself away in these letters. So these fan letters that you're talking about, I imagine they just won't be, you know, standard by rote form letters. There could be real things in there.
Well, there really were, and I had such a plethora of the fan letters to use that we'd have to do a volume two of this book to make them fit. So I selected good representative letters that she wrote to her admirers, which range from parents to teachers to librarians, but mostly the school kids of America that were exposed to her books in elementary school, and then felt called to write to her and tell her how much they appreciated those stories.
Well, let's hear. You've got some, I think, that you can read to us. You have one of the many letters she wrote to school kids. I think one dated June 15th, 1945, titled, "I would be glad to have you call on me." Can you share that one with us?
I will. That was an open invitation. And believe it or not, Wilder more or less had open house during the summer months, because people on their vacations would stop by Rocky Ridge Farm in Mansfield, Missouri, rap on the door, and she was really the first tour guide of her home, which is now a historic museum, and she was very gracious. Of course, she signed books and posed for pictures and answered questions and very proudly showed a lot of the visitors through that unique home that she and her husband Almanzo had built. So in June of 45, she had decided that she couldn't answer individually the maybe 30 letters or so that came from a classroom, so she'd write a group letter. And she says, "Thank you for your nice letters. I'm glad you like my stories of the long ago. It was rough riding in covered wagons in those days. It was quite different from riding on soft cushions over springs of a car as we do now. And we did have hard times, but we didn't let them beat us. We had good times and were happy, even if we sometimes had bad luck. I fed chickens and milked cows, too, for many years after I was married, and 300 chicks are a good many to raise, but they are lots of fun to watch grow. Almanzo and I still like animals. We have a big brown and white bulldog now, 3 milk goats, and a Rocky Mountain burro. They're all spoiled pets. When our only child, Rose, was a baby, we had a great St. Bernard dog who used to take care of her. Almanzo is 88 years old, and I am 78. I'm glad you liked to hear Pa's fiddle in the stories. You may like to know that I gave the fiddle to the South Dakota Historical Society. If any of you come past here, I would be glad to have you call on me. But perhaps you would be disappointed to see Laura so grown up, for it has been many years since she was the girl in the stories. With love to you all, I am, yours sincerely, Laura Ingalls Wilder.
That's such a great letter, and I love that she's actually willing to have, you know, the people call on her to come see her. You're not going to see that, you know, today.
Not in this day and age, but those were more innocent times, and she felt very comfortable hosting those that came to visit.
Talking to William Anderson, his new book is The Selected Letters of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Looking at this, Bill, it makes me think of what a unique position she was in. She was a living person, but also I think a lot of people saw her both as a personal friend based on reading the Little House books, but also this living artifact of history. How did she deal with that, I don't know, unique role? I can't think of anyone else who had put in that position.
Well, I think the reason that she was propelled to write her books was that she looked at her own life and saw this huge and rather quick transition from covered wagons and log cabins and frontier life into the modern era of the 20th century. And she moved along with that. They lived in a modern home. They had a car. She flew in an airplane. And she just looked back and she thought, all of this pioneer life has pretty much vanished. And she thought, I really need to write down my stories so that the children of today will know what America was just one generation ago.
Now, we're talking about her from here in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin does feature into her stories. Does it also feature at all, you know, in her letters?
She got many, many letters from Wisconsin, naturally, since the children read Little House in the Big Woods, which takes place near Pepin, Wisconsin. And it's amazing, this huge letter flow that came to her after her books were well launched. She saved all the fan letters, and they're really delightful to read, and I included a few of them in this book. And they asked questions, and they talked about their favorite stories. And I remember one letter she received from a farm boy named Paul. That's the way he signed the letter. And he told her that he lived very near Lake Pepin, and during that previous summer, he had worked very hard picking beans and vegetables and so on to earn the money to buy all of her books. And I'm sure that was very heartwarming.
Obviously, she captured the hearts of a lot of people over the years. And clearly, Bill, that includes you. You've spent a lot of your professional life researching and writing about Laura Ingalls Wilder. What was it? What captivated you?
I was indoctrinated in those books in third grade, and I really realized that was rite of passage for generations of American school children right up to the present time. We were part of a movement, I guess, in education that used the books since they were first published in the 30s and 40s. And as a third grader, I was just an ambivalent reader, but I got real fascinated in history and the frontier by hearing those books read aloud before lunchtime in third grade. And became a history instructor and a researcher, and all of my books are about American icons like Mount Rushmore, Mark Twain, the Von Trapp family, and so on. And a big chunk of my written list of books are about the Wilder family.
Did you ever feel like you got close to her, writing all these books about her, and then also reading her letters, really kind of seeing the inside of her mind?
Well, I had used those letters, as I mentioned, in writing a couple biographical books about her. But I had a very interesting epiphany when I was working on this book, because I had to type all these letters. And that was very different than simply reading them and taking notes from them and using them as source material. And as you mentioned, at this late date in doing this research in many of these Wilder-related books, I felt I was really hearing the voice as I typed each one of these letters and edited and annotated them. And that's what I hope readers will get from this. It's another visit with this favorite person of children's books.
We're talking with William Anderson right now. He's written several books about Laura Ingalls Wilder. His most recent is called The Selected Letters of Laura Ingalls Wilder.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of Laura Ingalls Wilder and the Little House books? What is it about her story that captured your imagination? Is there a part of the story after the books that you're curious about? And is this something that you've introduced to your own kids, maybe your students at a school? Bill Anderson will take your calls, answer your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation now with Bill Anderson. He's written several books about Laura Ingalls Wilder. His most recent is The Selected Letters of Laura Ingalls Wilder.
And we'd love to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. Were you a fan of the Little House books when you were a kid? Have you passed that along to your own children? And what do you think it is about the Ingalls clan that stays with us so many years later? If you've got a connection, call 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go right to our callers. Joan is on the line in Prairie du Chien. Joan, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Joan?
Well, I'm a retired teacher, and I was a reading specialist for many years, and I'd go into the classrooms once a week for enrichment, and I shared with the kids the Laura books. They absolutely loved it. We always had a Laura day on her birthday, and every summer I took them on a field trip up to Pepin, Wisconsin, and to Baroque Hotel. And I also, my husband went with me, and that's back before computers. I went to each of the sites except the one in New York and took the 35-millimeter slides and had slideshows
wow.
for the kids.
Joan, thank you so much for sharing that. And Bill, I'm guessing you've heard stories like this before, and Laura Ingalls Wilder herself probably heard from people with similar stories.
Everybody that I meet in this connection has a Wilder story. And Laura Ingalls Wilder had that same experience because so many teachers wrote to her about how important those books were in the curriculum. I remember one letter that she received from a teacher, and the teacher shared that when I took Little House on the Prairie down off the shelf to read before lunchtime, the room immediately fell silent. So they were good disciplinary methods, too.
We're going to go next to Laura, joining us from Keeler. Laura, hi.
Hi.
Hi, what did you...
My mom was born in 1940 and grew up then reading the books, and she decided that she loved the name Laura because of the Laura books. That's how I got my name. It took her three kids, but she named me Laura.
Nice.
And then the same thing happened, but my favorite childhood books were about the Madeleine series, the little French girl, and so that's my daughter's name. So we've kind of been going off of our favorite books to name our children.
Wow, so you guys have a family tradition of picking child baby names from these books. How do you like having Laura for a namesake?
I truly love it. Feel honored that I can try to carry on her greatness.
Laura, thank you so much for sharing that story. Appreciate it.
And Bill, are there a lot of Lauras out there with the same kind of story?
I've met quite a few of them, and they show up at the various museums in the summer, and they're very proud to say they're named after Laura Ingalls Wilder. We have had a few Almanzos, but not too many. Not too many.
Laura, thanks so much for that call. We'll go next to Carolyn in northern Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello. I'm calling because I not only have a nearby connection to the farm that, in Wisconsin that Lauren Gull's family had, but also I was a grade school student in the 1950s, and I was a voracious reader. And when I was in second grade, I received the complete collection of the Little House books. And I just read them and read them and read them. And all my friends wanted to read them. But we did not live near a public library. So my dad taught me how to type in second grade and bought me library book cards and book pockets. And I made a little public library in my basement. And all my friends checked out the books. And I still have them. With the checkout card and the date due slips and my rather childish handwriting at the time. Also went into that collection where the Anne of Green Gables books and another one of my favorites, which was Caddy Woodlawn.
That is such a great story, and I want to stay on the line. We're going to put you on hold, and I want you to talk to Judith, and I want to have a picture of your library cards for your Little House Lending Library. Thank you so much for that story. I really appreciate that. Bill, talk about people didn't just read these stories and be done with them. They wanted to share them with other people, didn't they?
They certainly did, and in families, we've already mentioned that these are books that are handed down from generation to generation, and the Ingalls and Wilder families are spoken of almost as if they're members of the extended family. So it's a wonderful tradition.
We're talking with William Anderson right now, the author of several books about Laura Ingalls Wilder. The latest one, the one we're talking about today, is called The Selected Letters of Laura Ingalls Wilder. And Bill, Laura was really close to her only child named Rose. She was also a writer, and there's been discussion over the years about whether Rose was maybe the ghostwriter of these books. What did you find about that aspect and also just the relationship in these letters?
The letters between Laura and her daughter Rose are probably the heart of this book because in a period of 1936 to 1940, the books were coming out very regularly, one every 2 years, sometimes one every year. And the correspondence between Laura and Rose indicate that they had a close collaboration, and the stories were all, of course, Laura Ingalls Wilder's. But Rose, as a very savvy and highly published and paid short story writer and novelist and journalist, she was the in-house editor for her mother. And when Rose was far away from the farm in Missouri, maybe in New York City, they had to carry on their collaboration and teamwork through correspondence. And fortunately, a lot of this still exists, and it is in this book, The Selected Letters. And it gives us a real insight into the craft of the writing of Little House books and how this was a family project during the Depression years and how mother and daughter collaborated.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Eric on the line in Eau Claire. Eric, hi.
Hi, thanks for having this topic. My dad read all the Laura Ingalls Wilder books to us. We even went on a summer family vacation and hit all the hot spots between here and the Dakotas. And for one Christmas, we got a tin cup and an Indian head penny. And that was our Christmas gift. It was the same thing that Laura got when she, I think, was in the Big Woods. So we got to appreciate how little she got and how great she thought that was.
Eric, thanks so much for that call. And that's part of the thing here, the lessons people are learning. And in a lot of the letters, she has a similar phrase, something, a positive message about appreciating what you have, dealing with adversity, as you heard in that early letter. She had a message for people, didn't she, Belle?
She certainly did. The books are a message about family unity, security, collaboration for survival and independence, self-reliance, all those virtues that her parents valued and she and her husband Almanzo valued as well.
Do you think that in a way she was nostalgic for those early years as a as a pioneer with her family battling adversity. There were some parts in the letters where she said, I actually think we were happier back then with all those tough challenges than we are in this modern world. Was she really maybe a person better suited to the earlier part of her life and the time that she lived in then?
Her daughter Rose said that my mother lives with both feet firmly planted in the 19th century. And in her letters, she mentions that a battle between man and nature is a lot cleaner fight than man versus technology or modern times. So she was nostalgic for the old independence that she felt they had in the big woods of Wisconsin and out on the prairies.
Bill, I got to ask, you mentioned that this is likely the last batch of writing we're going to get from Laura Ingalls Wilder. As somebody who has devoted his life to studying that, do you feel kind of sad knowing that you're not going to get another treasure trove like this?
I really feel that we're fortunate that so much of her unpublished works were saved, that they're accessible. The bulk of her original manuscripts and writings are located at the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library, and they've given scholars and writers years and years of material to research and write about. So it's just amazing that these people saved just about every piece of paper that they wrote on.
And Bill, as we wrap up, and you can hear people's love as they talk about Laura Ingalls Wilder, do you think that the generation of kids coming up today is going to have that same experience with her that the previous generations did?
I hope so. And I was a guest at Pepin's Wilder Days last September. That's her birthplace, of course, and they have a wonderful weekend festival. And I looked around and I saw all of these young families there with their kids. I saw children like 4 years old that were out at the log cabin site that sat down to listen to stories, and they were conversant in the characters and some of the episodes already. So I think this is being handed on down, and it's such priceless Americana and history that it's a good learning tool as we get further and further away from those pioneer times.
And Bill, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Bill Anderson. His newest book is The Selected Letters of Laura Ingalls Wilder.